headlines at this hour. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces arrest two former parliament members of opposition group Al-Wefaq. Reporters Without Borders adds Bahrain's king to its list of predators against press freedom. In Yemen, regime forces attack protesters amid growing anti-regime demonstrations. And the US questions Pakistan how bin Laden lived near Islamabad for a long period of time.
And those were the top stories of 2200 hours GMT. It is 2:30 a.m. over here in Tehran with Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Bahrain has arrested two former members of the parliament in an attempt to further crush the opposition movement in the country. Matar Ibrahim Matar and Jawad Firouz, members of the opposition Al-Wefaq party, were abducted from their houses by plainclothes forces on Monday. Both men had resigned from the parliament in February in protest at Bahrain's deadly crackdown on opposition protests. On Monday, Saudi-backed Bahraini forces raided several schools across the country and detained a number of students. Regime forces also snatched a wounded protester from Salmania Hospital in the capital. They stormed a mosque in Ali district in Manama and fired tear gas to disperse worshippers. An opposition group, the 14th of February Youth, has called for a sacred defense day, a day of mass protests on Friday. Scores of people are being killed and hundreds tortured or wounded by Bahraini and Saudi troops.
Media reports Watchdog has added Bahrain's King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa to its blacklist of, quote, predators against press freedom. Reporters Without Borders has added the Bahraini king to its list, which includes nearly 40 so-called predators, whom it describes as sowing terror among journalists. The France-based NGO cites as an example a Bahraini journalist called Karim Fakhrawi, who was killed in detention. The watchdog's list also says terror has been inflicted on journalists in countries such as Yemen and Libya. The list also includes warlords and armed entities such as the Israeli Armed Forces. Meanwhile, in the Persian Gulf Sheikhdom of Bahrain, the protesters are calling for a boycott of Saudi and Emirati-made products because of their involvement in the clampdown on Bahraini people.
That's right. This as a U.S.-based labor organization is also calling on Washington to suspend a free trade pact with Bahrain. The move came in response to the Saudi-backed regime's harsh clampdown on opposition protests. The American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations have prepared a petition seeking to push Obama administration to take concrete measures against the Bahraini regime. Union leaders have said Manama is moving in the wrong direction. They hope the measure, if approved, would compel the Persian Gulf Sheikhdom to end its inhumane treatment of anti-government protesters.
To Saudi Arabia now, where security forces have arrested a human rights activist in the city of Qatif. Fadl al-Manasif reportedly took part in anti-government protests in the eastern city. He has also been detained by Saudi authorities back in 2009 for joining a sit-in protest against the Riyadh regime. Saudi Arabia has been the scene of increasing anti-regime protests over the past months, and the demonstrations have intensified since Riyadh sent its troops into neighboring Bahrain to help the brutal crackdown on protesters there. The protests come despite a government ban on all rallies against the Al Saud regime. Riyadh has used all means possible to silence dissent across the monarchy.
The leader of Al-Qaeda terrorist group Osama bin Laden has been killed in Pakistan. The U.S. and its allies invaded Afghanistan to capture bin Laden after the 9/11 events. Now many are asking whether the Afghan occupation should continue.
An amateur video showing fires inside Osama bin Laden's compound near Islamabad after an alleged U.S. raid that led to the Al-Qaeda leader's death. Bin Laden's death came over 10 years after the 9/11 events. The U.S. claims bin Laden was killed on late Sunday, but there is no way to independently verify the claim. And there are serious lingering doubts, as this video footage shows.
Well, one of them is a very key figure in security. He also had dealings with Omar Sheikh, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden.
Regardless of the time of his death, the timing of its announcement by the U.S. president is just perfect for Barack Obama, who is bidding for re-election in 2 years. The U.S. can now also afford to downplay the foreign troops' death toll for April in Afghanistan, the deadliest month in several years. Meanwhile, Washington also says bin Laden's death does not mean an end to the unpopular war in Afghanistan.
We should not forget that the battle to stop al-Qaeda and its syndicate of terror will not end with the death of bin Laden. In Afghanistan, we will continue taking the fight to al-Qaeda and their Taliban allies.
Following the 9/11 events, the U.S. and its allies unleashed all-out wars on Afghanistan and Iraq. At the time, the mission objective was said to be capturing the Saudi-born terrorist, dead or alive, and also to dismantle the al-Qaeda network. Now, what could be next for the U.S. and its allies after bin Laden's death? Many say the U.S. military has no more excuses to remain in the region.
I say it frankly, we need a definite declaration from Mr. Obama himself that there is no need to stay in Afghanistan and there is no need to stay in Iraq.
Most agree that with bin Laden's body allegedly buried at sea, the U.S. must now invent a new pretext to prolong its stay in Afghanistan and the Middle East region.
In Yemen, hundreds of thousands of opposition protesters have staged a fresh rally in the capital, Sana'a. They want President Saleh to step down immediately and stand trial. Regime forces have used tear gas to disperse the protesters. The demonstrators hold Saleh responsible for killing hundreds of protesters during opposition rallies, which began in February. The fresh protests come as the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council's chief is due to travel to Yemen on Monday. This to renew mediation between embattled President Saleh and the opposition. The GCC on Sunday was forced to call off a ceremony to finalize a mediation deal after Saleh refused to sign it. Meanwhile, a protester was killed and another one injured in the southern city of Aden when security forces opened fire on a demonstration. The protesters were demanding the trial of regime forces accused of killing a man in custody.
Americans have come out to celebrate the death of the al-Qaeda leader, as confirmed earlier by U.S. President Barack Obama. Streets around the site of the World Trade Center towers, known as Ground Zero, quickly filled with thousands of people waving U.S. flags. New Yorkers also flocked into the town immediately after the news broke out. Similar spontaneous celebrations broke out in other cities across the country. Tens of thousands of people celebrated in Washington, outside the White House, singing the national anthem.
Leaders of countries across the world have hailed the killing of Osama bin Laden, but some of them have warned that the so-called war on terror may not be over. Saudi Arabia says it hopes the death of al-Qaeda leader will support international efforts to combat terrorism. Pakistani Prime Minister Yusuf Reza Gilani has told reporters that the killing of bin Laden is a great victory. British Prime Minister David Cameron has warned that the West will have to be even more vigilant in the weeks ahead. French President Nicolas Sarkozy congratulated the U.S. while warning that it is not the end of al-Qaeda. And similar reactions have also come from Germany, Italy, Spain and Russia. Meanwhile, the U.S. has closed its embassies and consulates in Pakistan, fearing attacks over bin Laden's killing.
Well, pressure is mounting on Pakistan to explain how Osama bin Laden had managed to hide out in a compound near a Pakistani military camp in Abbottabad for several years. U.S. counter-terrorism chief John Brennan says his government is seeking an answer from Pakistani officials.
I think it's inconceivable that bin Laden did not have a support system in the country that allowed him to remain there for an extended period of time. I am not going to speculate about what type of support he might have had on an official basis inside of Pakistan. We are closely talking to the Pakistanis right now. And again, we are leaving open opportunities to continue to pursue whatever leads might be out there.
U.S. lawmakers also urged Pakistan to prove it did not know world's most wanted man was living in a mansion in Abbottabad, a hillside retreat popular with retired Pakistani generals. Joe Lieberman, the chair of the Homeland Security Committee, predicted that Pakistan would come under, quote, real pressure in the coming days. Well, to discuss this more, I'm joined by Jeff Steinberg. He's the editor of the Executive Intelligence Review, joining me on the line from Washington. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Steinberg, the U.S. has not given enough information as to how, well, first of all, how it killed Osama bin Laden and, of course, many other people who were killed in the compound itself. What's your observation?
Well, first of all, intelligence that led to the locating of Osama bin Laden apparently has been being developed since August of 2010. There is actually quite a good deal of information that's come out, at least here in the United States, in some of the major news networks with statements from administration officials. I spoke to several contacts at the Pentagon today who told me that the raid was originally planned for Saturday, but there were weather problems, and so it was postponed today. But there were quite a lot of top military brass at the Pentagon throughout the day on Sunday. So it was known that something big was happening. And presumably, with a whole series of visits to Washington by General Pasha, the head of the ISI, and frequent visits by Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, to Pakistan, and some rather intense back-and-forth public arguments between U.S. and Pakistani officials in recent weeks, the arrest and eventual release of a CIA contractor named Davis back a month ago. There were things obviously building up. I'm also told that someone in Pakistan alerted the United States to the fact that bin Laden was preparing to move to another location, probably across the border in an area of Afghanistan controlled by Mr. Hekmatyar, one of the original Afghan Mujahideen who was employed by the U.S. and Britain and others to drive the Soviets out of Afghanistan way back in the 1980s. So there's a much more complex picture here. Clearly, as your news account just mentioned, there's a lot of explaining to do in terms of Pakistani factions of the military protecting and securing bin Laden's hiding there in Pakistan. But none of this is really shocking news. This has been known. It's a frequent topic of discussion around Indeed. Washington, D.C.
Right.
So I think what's new in the picture is the fact that they raided the compound. It was a three-helicopter assault. It was based on studies that had been done by the U.S. Joint Special Operations Command of many past successful and many past failed such raids.
Indeed, but Mr. Steinberg,
the physical details of the compound.
Indeed, but
they
Mr. Steinberg,
knew precisely what building?
Yeah, what do you make? Yes,
residing in.
Yes, Mr. Steinberg, but what do you make of the fact that no pictures have been released of the body of bin Laden?
Well, of course, that raises a lot of questions. The argument that's come out of the U.S., which is a bit hard to believe, is that Osama bin Laden was flown to Bagram Air Base, where they made a firm DNA identification, and that the body was washed in traditional Islamic ceremony and then dropped at sea so there'd be no possibility of a kind of a site which would become a worship site to further support for al-Qaeda's mission. But again, I think that there's very good reason to question the veracity of that story. So a lot more is going to come out in the next few days, not only the Pakistanis, but also the U.S.
Yes,
has
now
a certain amount of details and explaining to do here.
Yes, now with regards to Pakistan, I mean, the United States says Pakistan has to prove it did not know bin Laden was living in that country. That's what Pakistan is saying, that bin Laden had declared war on Pakistan, somehow trying to evade the responsibility imposed by the U.S. on it. What do you think would come ahead for Pakistan?
Well, I think that probably as the story unfolds and as we get closer to the truth as opposed to the sort of public relations cover story that came out today to boost President Obama's sagging popularity, I think we're going to probably find that, look, everybody knew that Osama bin Laden was hiding out in Pakistan. The Al-Qaeda and Taliban have offices that are practically publicly known addresses. And it was no secret that the ISI and other factions of the Pakistani military were backing this. And it was no secret that enormous amounts of Saudi money were supporting these neo-Salafi operations, including Al-Qaeda. There's a whole history behind the rapprochement that was arranged by Prince Turki bin Faisal with Osama bin Laden back in the late 1990s, that he would drop the targeting of Saudi Arabia. So there was no question that there was Pakistani protection, and I suspect that bin Laden became a liability as more and more friction developed between
Indeed.
The U.S. and the Pakistanis.
Right. I mean,
again,
you spoke of the fact that
days or weeks or maybe months before we get something closer to the real truth about how the U.S. and Pakistan negotiated to bring Osama bin Laden down.
I mean, you spoke of the fact that the death of Osama bin Laden during the Obama administration will indeed improve Obama's sagging public approval ratings. But it will also, if you look at it this way, it will also somehow boost the morale in the hearts and minds of the people and build trust in the U.S. administration. Of course, some predict that this will give more leeway to the U.S. administration to continue with its policies in Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's certainly going to be an attempt. I have serious doubts about whether or not, for example, we're going to get a status of forces basing agreement with the Maliki government in Iraq. I think we may see the U.S. forces withdraw almost completely from Iraq by the end of the year. And, of course, the frictions between the U.S. and Karzai have also been building in intensity. The appointment of Ryan Crocker to go back to Afghanistan as ambassador is clearly an attempt to repair those damaged relations, because General Petraeus was not exactly on friendly terms with Karzai. And so it may very well be that it ultimately serves President Obama's reelection strategy
Indeed.
To substantially draw down American forces in Afghanistan. We're not welcome there anyway. And to basically use the murder of bin Laden as the pretext to say we can pack up and go home more rapidly than we did before.
Indeed. Now, Mr. Steinberg, very briefly, if you can. I mean, Osama bin Laden comes from a very influential bin Laden family in Saudi Arabia. Does the U.S. expect any reaction from the Saudi government?
No, I think on this issue, there's already a great friction between the U.S. and the Saudis over the situations in Yemen and Bahrain and Egypt and Libya. So I don't think anybody wants that relationship to get much worse. It's very embarrassing that the bin Laden family is a prominent and politically powerful Saudi family. Of course, President Bush flew out half the bin Laden family from the United States days after the 9/11 attacks because it was such a sensitive issue. I don't think either side's going to want to revisit that embarrassment again. So I think there's going to be an effort to patch up things between the U.S. and the Saudis, and maybe if they put the bin Laden business behind
right.
them, it'll speed that up. And similarly, the frictions between the U.S. and Pakistan.
Indeed. All right. I'm sorry we have to leave it there. Many thanks there to Jeff Steinberg, editor with the Executive Intelligence Review, joining me on the line from Washington. Many thanks for your thoughts there, sir.
Israel has refused to reject the report that its warplanes are preparing in Iraq to strike Iran. Earlier, a source close to the movement of prominent Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr disclosed to Press TV that a considerable number of Israeli fighter jets had been seen at al-Assad Air Base in Iraq. The drills were reportedly aimed at preparing to strike targets deep inside Iran, including air defense systems. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has also rejected the report.
In Japan, radiation levels have risen in yet another reactor unit at a second nuclear power plant. The nuclear facility is located in Chirugu, some 350 kilometers west of the capital, Tokyo. The Japan Atomic Power Company says the rise in radiation may be due to leaks from fuel rods. Elevated radiation levels have been detected inside the primary coolant water in one of the plant's two reactors. The company is considering shutting down the plant for detailed examination. Meanwhile, a 28 billion yen system designed to predict the amount of radiation leaked into the atmosphere in case of a nuclear accident has proven useless. The ERSS was developed back in 1987, but never used in a real-life scenario. Japan's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency says it does not intend to use the system to analyze the current nuclear crisis. Public discontent is rising over the government's handling of its recent nuclear disaster.
All the W's.PressTV.IR is Press TV's official web address with the pictures of Osama bin Laden, with the allegedly fake pictures. You can view them all and many other news and stories that have been happening in your world today on that website. The address again is alderws.presstv.ir.
Well, stay tuned. Press TV Sports Guru is up next with all the sports headlines.